This is Luca Maino. How's everybody doing? We're returning with Learn to Unlearn. And this is the new song that's going to be replacing the other one. And this is it's a composition I did a while back. Let's just have a listen to it a little bit more before I shut it off. I love the feel of it. In French, they say, you know, it's nice to hear it how it sits, like they say. It really sits well, and it's got a really good groove to it, I think. Welcome back to Learn to Unlearn. Yes, Luca, turn on the timer. Say hello to Steve. How are you, Steve? This is the super producer that we have. How are you doing?
I'm pretty good today. I've been up since 5:30, but got some good amount of caffeine in me earlier.
Yeah, me too. Are you doing better at pool? Like, are you beating any heads yet? Or
oh yeah, yeah. I'm playing some of the best pool I've ever have.
Oh, that's good. I'm glad you can, because I, you know, it's like everything else. You got to give yourself to it and practice and practice and practice, right? One musician that makes it big, he's surrounded by, you know, by high school kids, and they're looking at him like, wow, you know. And one guy, you know, one little kid has the nerve to ask him, you know, what does it take to get to Carnegie Hall? And he looks at him, and everybody else is listening, and he says, practice, practice, practice. And that was his answer. Glad to be back for another show. I'm really super glad to be well surrounded. Hello to everybody in the chat and to Annie. maybe not in that order. No, say hello to Annie first, Luca, and then to everybody in the chat and everybody listening. Boston Mark, Ant, and Sarah and Melissa, and also to my other mother that I don't see very often. But anyway, we're all here, and Annie replays the show anyway, so everybody gets to hear it. I've got personal thoughts to start off the show today, and then we're going to go nature a little bit, talking about the headdress, a disaster in the making, and we'll refer to the link in the chat that everybody got earlier. I want to revisit Palestine as well with a really nasty clip that I have to play so that everybody hears it. And as promised, we're going to be hitting Rockefeller with an intro on who he is and how he showed up and what he did, if we have enough time, about the hemp and the healing. Because when he shows up, I guess America is one of the most healthiest countries on the planet, from what I understood, around, you know, in the early 1900s. 1910 or so, around that time. But what I wanted to do is to start by talking to everybody on a one-to-one level, because these days are really hard for me, especially. Very, very little money, and the joke went around the table last week, how much we have at the end of the month, or after we pay bills, or 15 minutes after we pay, you know, we get paid, right? Gone. And they're doing it on purpose. One time I heard this PhD, who happens to be one of my mentors in the Indian country world, and he was saying how the government knows how much money is allocated to who, and who goes to what store for groceries, and who goes to what gas station for gas, and who goes, like, they all know exactly who spends what and where. So you look at how you're calculated on your pay, and it's not just me, I don't think, but, you know, you just get a tiny, tiny little bit left, and it's got to last you the whole month. So they know what they're doing, and then they're going to penalize you if you're on SSI and you try to work or whatever, okay? That accompanied with what I loved about, I think it's the second to last show that I heard on this network while I was doing stuff around the house, about how they're constantly keeping you in fear, constantly keeping you under stress, constantly keeping you under, you know, insecurity. Speaking of insecurity, before we start, There's something else that's going around about the WEF now that's saying that, you know, there's going to be a cyber attack before the end of 2024. Now, how would they know? Steve, help me out here. Are they prophetic?
No, they're going to cause it.
They're literally saying that there's going to be a cyber attack.
They all have said in the last 2 years, well, there's going to be another pandemic also that we just don't know about.
Right, that we just don't know about. Yeah, they're prophesizing. Okay, yeah. You know, it's so ridiculous.
That's called the false flags.
Yes. And what is a false flag? You know, there's the Hegelian dialectic that plays in there too. It's problem, reaction, solution. They have everything planned ahead of time. They create the problem knowing you're going to clamor for a solution. They know how the people are going to react. They have the solution already ready and they throw it at us, right? We all know this stuff. It's amazing. So people that really know their stuff, they can, you know, they can really be alert and they can help everybody else when the time comes. I just, you know, an hour before the show, I'm watching a YouTube video and that's what they're saying. You know, it's like they're bragging, right? Oh, and Yuval Harari that says that we don't need God, you know? Oh no, we're better than God. We don't need God. You listen to these people talk. It's scary stuff. But my personal thing for Shake and Wake, especially, and I'm not going to say this on every radio, okay, on every radio station either. That's not my style. I talked to Annie this week about how I really feel close to the people on Shake and Wake because of a family atmosphere, because of the fact that I don't have to mince my words. I don't have to, you know, worry about, can I talk about this or do I have to leave that out or, you know, and you guys have been wonderful with me. And it's all about, for me, it's all about creating like an atmosphere because, you know, I miss you guys during the week, you know, and while I'm preparing the show and I'm sitting here, you know, doing so much internal work on myself that I'm, you know, the more I get to know myself, the more I'm really thankful for what I have. So it's a real blessing to be on Shake and Wake and to have everybody as a family like that. It's not fake. It's not, you know, what's the word? Shallow, right? It's it comes from the heart, and it's to thank everybody also. You know, you come here at 1:15 or so, and you say hello to everybody, and everybody gets to say hello and talk to each other and listen to Rick while we're getting ready for my show. You know, I'm getting really used to it, and it's something, it's really special to me. So thank you very much for that. My first meme says, I was born with a soul that is way too sensitive for this cold and ugly world. I have always felt things deeply and differently than most people, and that has always been my blessing and my curse. That's a big mouthful. And then you know what I think right away? I think of that little girl that's mute, selective mutism. Remember I talked about that? That little kid that just doesn't say anything the whole day long at school, the whole day, nothing, not a word. Just looks around, just stunned, right? That's about where I'm at right now. I'm telling you, I'm sitting here in my house with the door closed. I got the neighbors upset with me on the side of me because of my calling them out to the landlord about the poop and not cleaning it up, okay? The person on top of me living upstairs is upset with me because I got him in trouble for playing his music too loud. It's like nobody seems to care. It's amazing. You know, you care about the person. You care about your surroundings. You make sure the music is soft and that you're not bothering anybody. Like that's standard procedure for me, you know, and it's, you're looking at people living around you and they're coming apart at the seams. And that's exactly what the Hope you're saying. Remember how, I don't know if I'm the only person, but wow, it's, you know, you're so sensitive. And I can see that in Rick's writing, Annie. I can see that in Rick's words. And we were talking about that. Boston Mark and I were talking about that earlier. You know, one day, you know, that song, One Day at a Time, I think it's called. You know, I'm just learning about the lyrics. And it's just today that it hit me. Indiana wants me. I mean, oh, that's what it is. Indiana wants me. Okay. You know, because either my ears are going or my hearing's going, which it is, or I'm just getting old, but I'm catching on. See, that's what I mean. Family, right? And we talk about really important things. You know, I don't want it just to be somebody that's just getting his show ready for the week and he does his show and he goes away. No, this is like, you know, I'm talking like I could die tomorrow or going to get a loaf of bread 5 minutes from now, crossing the street. Anything can happen. We know how fragile life is, right? This is my quandary. And you're living by yourself, too. Thank God Rick had you, Annie. But, I mean, wow. Oh, Indiana wants me with a cover. Okay. See, I'm still learning, right? Okay. Learn about that, too, while you're on the show, Luca. Be careful of what you're talking about. Huh? My grandmother would say, be careful. You know what you're talking about when you open your mouth. So we got somebody that pulls up to a red light in a Corvette. And the guy in the car next to him goes, oh, man, I wish I had a Corvette. The guy in that car that I'm talking about, the guy in the old car, he pulls up to the red light. And somebody on a bicycle says, oh, man, I'd like that car. Wow. It'd be nice to have a car. The guy on the bike is driving around. And somebody walking says, man, it'd be nice to have a bike, but they're so expensive. I can't buy one. I wish I had a bike. Somebody's walking along. And somebody in a wheelchair sees them and says, man, oh, man, my God, I'd give anything to be able to walk again. Well, guess what? I was looking at the person in the wheelchair outside of the hospital where I was, and I was stretched out. This is like 2 or 3 days after my operation, and I'm looking out the window because that's where they placed me. I was lucky, and I got a chance to see somebody in the wheelchair rolling himself along, and I said to myself, oh, my God, it's going to be nice to get out of here and be in at least in a wheelchair, because there wasn't any question about me walking or not walking at that time. This is what's so bizarre, because I ended up walking first and, you know, to the point where I was going out, you know, to the range and shooting and being pretty active. And then I lost my legs little by little after that, because I guess I was doing too much too fast or something. But I lost my legs just like that. Scary as hell. So that's a really big one for me. Because you're always looking at somebody else saying, oh, I wish I had what he had. You know, no, I'm really grateful for what I have. And that's a big one for me. Joni Domingo, and I've shared this before, and I got to share it again. Joni explains the way I feel. And I'm sure Rick did too. And I got really upset because I was looking for this meme. And you know what I mean? You're looking for something before the show. Of course, you can't find it, right? So you go out of your mind looking for this one picture. You can't even show the picture, but at least you want to look at it while you're reading it. And this is so much like me. If there's one meme that I can ever share with people that really helped me change my life, literally, and we're going to talk about that too, your chemical reactions, your chemical, chemical processes in your brain, whatever you want to call it, how you can completely change from one day to the next. And this is really helping me out a lot. Be scared and do it anyway. You know, be underqualified and get in the room anyway. It's like going against what people think. It's really well said. Be honest. Show your imperfections, which is what I'm trying to do. Be prepared for mistakes. And be unsure and show up anyway. I think it's awesome. You know, how to be uncomfortable, because, being comfortable is the enemy of growth, right? Get uncomfortable. Luca. The more uncomfortable we are, the more we're going to learn, right? And doing a show like this once a week with people who care It's absolutely awesome. We have to get uncomfortable with disobeying. Get uncomfortable with speaking your mind. And this is like a note to self, right? Get comfortable with standing up for yourself. That's a big one. Boundaries. Get comfortable with being socially ostracized. And I love talking about the movie Avatar when I say that, because one thing I noticed in that movie, and I think that made me buy it, was because he kept shrugging off everything that everybody was saying to him, shrugging off every time he had criticism. Some of the things that would make me collapse if somebody said it to me, oh, whatever, you know, brush it off, keep walking. You know, we have to get comfortable with trusting our instincts instead of the people on the screen or the people in the media, or we might not make it. It's as simple as that. So what happened to me when I grew up? Well, I got another one for you, and only Steve knows who this is, and most people won't even know who wrote this until I say it at the end. Listen to this. School failed me, and I failed the school. It bored me. The teachers behaved like Feldwebel sergeants. I wanted to learn what I wanted to know, but they wanted me to learn for the exam. What I hated most was the competitive system, and especially sports. Because of this, I wasn't worth anything. And several times, you know, they suggested I leave. Guess who that happened to? Literally, word for word. Okay. I didn't believe in competition. You know why? I think I even told this story before very quickly when I was watching a tennis game, and it was my favorite tennis player in the whole wide world, and he was going to knock the crap out of another guy. Right. And I'm watching. Apparently his mother had died 3 or 4 hours before the tournament. Oh, he's no longer the best tennis player in the world because he can't perform as good because he was traumatized or hurt because of, you know, losing his mother. Right. He can't play as efficiently. Oh, now he's not the best anymore. Okay, that's when from then on, it's like, yeah, okay, they lost my vote. What I hated most was competitive systems. Okay, then he wasn't worth much of anything, and they suggested he leave. Okay, this was a Catholic school in Munich. It was a Catholic school for me as well in Geneva, Switzerland. I felt that my thirst for knowledge was being strangled by my teachers. Grades were their only measurement. How can a teacher understand youth with such a system? Good question. I could do an hour show on that one. From the age of 12, I began to suspect authority and distrust teachers. Signed, Albert Einstein. If people didn't know, I thought that was pretty cool, you know, and it's interesting that see, and at 65 years old, I'm completely taking my life and taking like a shirt and putting it inside out. Literally. That's what we have to do in order to, you know, really find out who we are and to do our best in order to, you know, get through what's coming. I have a question for everybody. Would you blindfold yourself and eat whatever somebody fed you? Of course you wouldn't, right? Then stop letting the media do it for you. Stop let the media think or tell you what to think, right? And, you know, I'm not saying that for the people in the chat necessarily. I'm saying that for the people that might have never heard me before or that never heard stuff like this before. I know I'm preaching to the choir a lot because so many people on here have heard that so many times before. But it's stuff that, you know, if I feel like I have to say it, it's got to be said. The hardest prison to escape is the prison of our own mind. You know, we're stuck with something our whole life. We're happy with it. We're comfortable with it. There's that word again. Why change it, right? It's working. Just like people don't want to do the research. They know something's out there. They know something's horrible. Most people do, I'm pretty sure. But no, they want to stay away from it. Nope, they don't want to talk about it. Nope. So, wow, you know. And you also hear about the longest journey that you're going to have to take, and the most difficult journey, it's the 18 inches between your head and your heart. That's one of the most beautiful things I think I ever heard. And it's really true. You know, you want to change the world? Okay, close the door and change yourself. You know, what are you talking about? I don't understand. Well, that's the problem, right? They turned us against each other to distract us from turning against them. These people are brilliant. I mean, I'm telling you, they have, you know, they've been doing this to the Native Americans since, what? I don't want to say 1492 and sound corny, but think about it. All these little tricks that they've learned since then. I have a paper, an essay size paper about how to take people's rights away. There's 21 different ways to take their rights away, to make them feel bad, to play the victim. You know what I mean? To brainwash them into thinking that, you know what I mean? It's unbelievable how they're good at this. They get you from every single angle. And how do I feel? Well, it's really weird watching people still direct their hate towards the people that are telling the truth and not the ones that are lying to them. It blows me away. The whole system is designed to disconnect you from your intuition. And that's something I want to talk about briefly today too. Why? Because disconnected people are so easy to manipulate. The simple person, I love how they say that in French. That's what they mean by simple person. The person who doesn't think really, the person who doesn't understand very much, or just the Tom, Dick, and Harry that just goes to work, comes home, goes to work, comes home, right? The people that think simply, they're the ones that yell. They're the ones that scream, point fingers, judge everybody else. And the people that are thinkers, the people that are wise, the people that are spiritual, they just sit there, close their eyes and frown and don't say anything because they know better. So I'm kind of feeling strange and seeing my electronics go a little nuts. So I said to myself, let's go see Suspicious Observers on YouTube. Suspicious Observers, I've been listening to them for quite a while, for many years, just to see what they're doing, where they're at. Suspicious Observers in one word on YouTube. And they usually tell you if we had bursts from the sun or if we had this or that. On the last show, this is really amazing. And this is making my show. I had to literally make a note to put this in my show today. Okay. The guy on Suspicious Observers, he's saying, this is a quote from him. The culture of us humans today makes the entire world seem like one Sodom and Gomorrah. The rise of satanic degeneracy and the loss of traditional moral values. Bingo! Let me repeat that again. The culture of us humans today makes the entire world seem like one Sodom and Gomorrah. The rise of satanic degeneracy and the loss of traditional moral values. Oh, speaking of moral values, happening now. And this is what I got this 2 days ago, I think. Steve, you can chime in on this, please, if you know anything that I don't. The New York Appellate Division has ruled in favor of Governor Kathy Hochul in a landmark case for government overreach. Rule 2.13 says isolation and quarantine procedures will give the state of New York the ability to come into your home and take you away to quarantine without any notice and for any virus or infection that they deem necessary. You won't have any option to fight it. No court date, nothing.
Well, that's the standard operating procedure for, well, first it was China, then it was Australia. Now it's going to be New York and California. We'll first do that. Yeah. And if you put up with that, you'll put up with all the other 50 states.
And it continues to say the rule has no age limit and they can keep you as long as they'd like. The rule also allows them to treat you as they see fit, including using methods that are still in testing.
Well, you know, it's for the greater good. course.
Right.
Do you remember
they'll use that.
The one Star Trek movie? They said that the needs of the many outweigh the one, or the needs of
the needs of the few. Yep.
Few
outweigh the
or
needs
one.
Of the one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember that. That's in Star Trek 3, The Search for Spock.
Was it number 3? No, that was number 2.
Oh, we'll argue about that.
Before.
Okay. He's,
yeah.
Oh, cute. Oh, that's right, too, because he
died in two.
Himself.
He died
that's
in 2,
right.
Yeah.
That's what it was. Okay. To save the ship, of course.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, the entire crew.
Yes. Now, remember, you know, an environment, it says... An environment that is not safe to disagree in, it's not an environment that's focused on growth. That's an environment that's focused on control. You know, there are so many things that, you know, we go, yeah, yeah, we know. Well, you know, when they're said like that one after the other, listen to this one. Evil comes from the abuse of free will. That's C.S. Lewis. Evil comes from the abuse of free will. Okay, so you go back to Indian country for a minute, or even Hitler, if you want to talk about him, it's your choice. It's freedom of choice, right? You can either serve good or serve evil. Duh, right? Hitler was one of those people. I'm really starting to see more and more that the more power he had, the more he was working for the people. There are even people that are saying that Hitler has zero responsibility for World War II, by the way, because it wasn't him that started it. He had nothing to do with it. He saw very soon, very quickly, that things were not going the way he wanted them to go, that the party was getting infiltrated. There were different problems going on. There was the propaganda going on. And the boycott against Germany, so many things from so many sides, just like we're seeing today. Okay, so he just went to the Austrian retreat and stayed there. I don't want to hear anything. I don't want to know about what's going on. Because he was too sensitive to hear stuff like that, just like I started my show. I really believe that. And the more you persecute somebody, in my mind, the more you persecute, why would you persecute somebody in the first place? To protect yourself. Okay. Deliberately persecuting somebody. Deliberately making somebody the martyr. That's a red flag for me right there. And that's why I started investigating. And it's thanks to networks like yours here that allow stuff like this to come out. Because in Europe, you'd get arrested. In certain countries, because they don't want that to come out. It's not allowed, right? It's not allowed. We're not going to get into Israel yet, but there are so many beautiful quotes that I could share with you. And there's one in particular. It's called A Reason, A Season, or A Lifetime. And this touches me deeply because different people come into your life for either a reason, a season, or a lifetime, and it's up to you to figure out which one it is, and then you'll know what to do with them, right? Basically, it says that when a person comes into your life for a reason, it's because you've expressed the need of a certain kind. It's for a certain goal that you want to achieve. It's incredibly beautiful with the person. And then all of a sudden something happens, either they die or something happens or they say something or they don't act right or for a certain reason it's not your fault.
Hey, Luca.
It finishes, yes.
You're coming up on 30 minutes if you want to take your break.
No. I'm getting this done. That's why. I got enough time. and that it's over, okay? You just have to learn the lesson. When a person comes into your life for a season, it's for exactly that. It's for a season. It'll last that long, and it's absolutely incredible. You learn as much as you can. You love the person. You love each other, and then it's just gone. It's for a season only. The people that come into your life for a lifetime teach you life lessons, things that have to be built upon. Your emotional foundation has to be worked on. You accept the lessons of past lives, past relationships. It's really beautiful. So they either come into your life for a reason, a season, or a lifetime. And once you know which one that is, you'll get to know what to do with them. I thought that was awesome. And look at that. It's just perfect timing. We're right on cue for going to the commercial, talking about TLBTalk.com, where everybody should go to not be censored anymore. And I'm going to take a drink of something because I haven't all this time. We'll be right back.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at TLBTalk.com and join the social media revolution.
There it is. That's it. And that's where we got to go for social media. It's really cool because that's where all the stuff goes that's really sensitive that I know won't last on Facebook. And it's a wonderful place to be, and we're growing, and I'm really looking forward to being there when everything starts to really censor up big time and get very, very tight very quickly. I got to talk about this headdress because, it's really something that's, infuriating, and for very few people, I might add. Just like the truth about World War II, same thing that most people don't know. Once you do know it, it just you sit there and you just shake your head like, okay, you know, because so many people are just doing whatever they want, thinking whatever they want, plastering stuff everywhere. Well, I'm going through Facebook and I see this person, as you see in the picture, with a red and black face, which in itself is a no-no, okay? And it's a child, okay? Hear me out. With a full headdress. Okay? I really got people walking up and down my back for exposing, what's his name? Stevie Ray Vaughan, when he wore the headdress on stage. And somebody took a picture, okay? Let me just explain to you what each feather represents, okay? Very quickly. Each feather, one feather, okay, is given to one person or a couple, depending on the circumstance. One feather is equal to one extraordinary deed that person has done for the people, selflessly. Okay, and there's a ceremony for that. Everybody's invited. It's a ceremony. It's a feast. It's a gigantic deal. Okay, one feather is given because one person or a couple did an incredible deed for the tribe, or had gone through the first sweat lodge, or had gone through her first moon time. Okay, it's a really important. Okay, so the kid is what, 8, 9 years old. First of all, I don't even think those feathers, I shouldn't talk too much or too fast, but you know, you can buy them on eBay. Okay. That's why I don't think they might not be real, because you have girls in bikinis with those on and you can buy them on eBay anytime you want. And I just happened to be in ceremony standing in back of the chief of the Mi'kmaq community that I belong to, and he's got a headdress on, and my teacher's right next to me, and I know more about the Mi'kmaq tradition than he does. I looked at him. I said, the chief only have one turkey feather? And he says, shut up, shut up. You know, and you look, and they're not even real feathers. You know, what did he buy it on eBay? This is the chief of the Mi'kmaq Reserve, okay, in Mi'kmaq country. I'm not going to say the name of the reserve. I don't have to. But it's like, this is how bad it's gotten, okay? You have people that make a name for themselves because they look good, they dress good, they talk good, they act the part. They go worldwide. People pay out of their nose for this stuff. It's so impressive, you know? Instead of staying home, taking care of their people, what do? They go across the world, do what they want, and probably get everybody sick in the meantime. Why? Because it's bad energy. It's really, really bad energy. Okay, so back to the game. The Kansas City Chiefs are there. You got the tomahawk chop, if that's not bad enough. And I'm going to say it again. Remember, John Wayne? I don't remember. Now I can't say it anymore. Maybe there's a reason for that. I thought it was John Wayne. No. Johnny Cash. There you go. It was Johnny Cash that had to be restrained in 1973 by five security guards because he was going to attack Sachin Littlefeather, which I talked about already when she refused the Oscar for Marlon Brando. He had to be restrained because he was going to either knock her out or drag her off stage, one or the other. You know, and then Clint Eastwood goes in there with another dig. Okay, this is what our society is like. And I'm sitting here tearing it apart day after day. Oh, look at this. Oh, did you know about this, Luca? Oh, well, look at this. Did you hear about what the WEF said about a cyber attack, Luca? Every single day, every single night. And I just want to love people. That's all I want to do, right? I just want to love people. That's it. Or I want to be loved, right? So that's what I wrote. And I said to myself, you know, you might want to sleep on it because you don't want to write in anger. Okay, so I slept on it. The next day I was more angry than the day before. So that's why I decided to write on it. And I wasn't very nice when I first saw it. You have hundreds of people that were commenting, oh, beautiful, go kid, yeah, he's a child, go for it. And what did I say? I said, it's effing sick is what it is. And I think it was his mother that responded to me saying, well, that's what the mirror thinks when it looks at you in the morning or something like that. And then I came back and I said, no, you know what I'm going to do? Every time it gets posted, I'm going to write up something and then I'll, you know, make it look like it sounds like some elder that's 85 years old that wrote it to impress everyone, right? It's so sad. And this is what people are like. See, so what I think, oh, it got on Fox News, people. Oh, it got, if I wore a headdress like that and I painted my face red and black, hardly anybody would notice. And that would be it. How come it got on Fox News? Wait now. Oh, that sounds like a false flag in the making. It sounds like somebody, CIA, FBI, perhaps paying somebody to do that. It's a child, right? Why do I think that? Because it's a child involved. And that's when things heat up. You know, if it's an adult, well, okay, you know, at least if he's, you know, over 25 or whatever, that's fine. When it's a child, that's when people heat up. You should have seen the people in hockey games, ladies and gentlemen, hockey games. The parents are in fist fights. Because of their kids playing hockey. Two or three fistfights going on between parents while the kids are, you know, disciplined and playing hockey. Okay. I never went to a hockey game after that either. Okay. Everything's collapsing. And
you've heard the old joke, haven't you, Luca?
I'm sorry?
I say you've heard the old joke, haven't you?
What?
I went to the fight and the hockey game broke out.
Yes. Yes. I heard that about boxing. Yeah. Yeah, I went to – oh, yeah, because when the Montreal Canadiens and the Quebec Nordiques, that's what it was. Yes, sir, the Quebec Nordiques against the Montreal Canadiens. You have four different fights on the ice. You have gloves and stuff strewn all over the place, shirts even. They tear their shirts off, and everybody's standing up and applaud. Are we at a – is this a boxing match that we went to or, you know? Wow. So, we could be talking like this for hours, bouncing back and forth about how there are so many things that are involved that are tearing us apart, but we have to figure out why. Once you understand what they're doing, they never cared about us in the first place. They're pledging allegiance to Israel and Congress. They're okay, as hypocritical as the voting parties are, blue and red, right? America is scolding Israel, telling them to, lay off Gaza and be humanitarian and, stop acting like that. Okay, so you know what we do at the same time? We're offering them ammunition. We're sending them the bombs. We're sending them phosphorus. Isn't that nice? Anything that phosphorus touches, even a floor, it'll go right through a floor. It'll go right through your skin. They had fun with napalm at one time, right? This is what they do. And they're playing both sides. See, this is a perfect example. And I had that on a meme, and it's infuriating. So why don't we go there? Okay, why don't we talk about Israel? Well, I have a clip for you to hear. And she says the S-H-I-T word once. Please just close your ears. And she starts by saying she didn't get what she's learned out of her ass, okay? So it doesn't get worse than that. But she's really angry. And last week I played an angry Norman Finkelstein. So this is heavy stuff. And this is where we learn the most, when we can say, I'm not offended. I want to learn, right? Well, listen to this.
Okay, it feels important to say this. I am not pulling my perspective on Israel-Palestine out of my ass, okay? I'm not just guessing that Israel is committing a genocide against Palestine. I have studied and researched this. I have bona fides, and I will share them. First of all, I'm a Jewish woman. I was raised by a Zionist family. My grandfather was a Holocaust survivor. My family talks about our spirit of resistance and resilience constantly. Desiring goodness from the nation of Israel is in my blood. And still, I can see that the Zionist state is vicious, violent, and evil. If someone who was raised by a Zionist family, by people who believe that Israel has the right to exist and that it is our salvation, if I can overcome my pro-Israel bias and learn about this conflict, so can you. And frankly, I should not be calling it a conflict. It's a genocide. So when I was in college around 2012, 2013, a bunch of my friends and loved ones started going on birthright trips. And I knew enough then to ask the question when they got back from their birthright trips, what about Palestine? And when these people I love, admire, and respect started talking about Palestinians and using language like terrorists, I knew I had to learn more. I also knew that I wanted to go on birthright, and I was nervous about being brainwashed by the trip, and I should have been nervous. So before I went on birthright, I decided at my small liberal arts school in Massachusetts to get a well-rounded perspective, educational perspective on Israeli-Palestinian politics. I took four courses: Suffering and Evil in the Jewish Tradition, The Jewish Experience, Middle East Politics, and Arab-Israeli Conflict. I also took international and comparative politics courses that often brought up Israel and Palestine in comparisons to, for example, apartheid South Africa. And by the time I finished my ample coursework on the subject before I went on birthright, I was already pro-Palestine, because once you are in the literature, once you are in the research, not the media stories about this, not the pro-Zionist rigmarole on CNN and MSNBC, once you are in the literature and the data, this isn't a debate. This isn't a question. People talk about Israel-Palestine like it is incredibly complicated, and I reject that premise. It is not. We know that anti-Semitism exists globally, right? We know that Jews are not the most beloved population in the world. We know that Britain has a colonial history and they have taken on colonial projects even through the 20th and 21st centuries. Essentially, Britain already wanted to colonize Palestine. So did the United States. And at the end of World War II, Britain and the U.S. got to talking and they thought, who do we want to exploit for military labor someplace that is surrounded by brown people so that we can rape and pillage land that we don't currently have access to? Where's one part of the globe we haven't effectively colonized yet? And there was Palestine. And Britain had been trying to colonize Palestine already. And so this was passed off to Jews who had just survived the Holocaust as a gift. Here, we're granting you this parcel of land so that you and your progeny can exist in peace and not be violated anymore. Congratulations. Except that land already belonged to someone. Palestinians were already living there. And the U.S. and Britain didn't give a shit about the well-being of Jews. They didn't care. This wasn't a gift for Jews. This was always intended to be a trap of you do our military labor for us. We'll put you here and we'll grant you this parcel of land that already belongs to someone that there are already people on. And in return, you will rape and pillage that land for us and we'll just all share in the wealth. And it might be a good idea, too, if, like, your entire population were to, you know, have conscripted military service so you can really defend that land that is yours, totally, totally yours, bucko. And if you see who has emerged as the political leadership of Israel over the last few generations, this won't surprise you. This insidiousness will not surprise you. This is how you get Benjamin Netanyahu, someone who absolutely agrees to the premise of Israel as a Zionist ethno-nationalist state, who says, we are here for one thing and one thing only, is to garner as much wealth from this earth that we have, as much tourist property from this plot of land, convert it to dollars, and build up a military so mighty, a military apparatus so great that we wind up producing the world's weaponry. Yes, we have mined this land, and we have used the land to give you war machinery so that we can all murder each other 1,000 times over. And to the people already living here, well, we'll murder them too. I took basically a semester and a half of college courses on this, and I know in my bones that what Israel is doing right now is a genocide. It's evil. What they've been doing for the last 75 years is a genocide. It is drip violence, slow violence, protracted harm. It is meant to exhaust the civilian population of Palestine. It is meant to exhaust all Palestinians out of their will to fight. And all the benefit, the wealth garnered from that land goes to the primary stakeholders, not the Palestinian people to whom the land originally belonged.
There you go. You heard it. Sorry about that noise. It's always going, you know, when I record, it's always doing that. But that one wasn't too bad. So, yeah, that's basically what it is, right? See, so the media spins one story. U.S. urges Israel to protect civilians on one thing from the cradle media. U.S. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin on December 2nd urged Israel to protect civilians during its campaign against Hamas in Gaza. Even as the U.S. military continues to send 2,000-pound bombs and artillery to the Israeli army for use in the densely populated and besieged enclave, right? Okay. A British Palestinian surgeon who had just returned to the U.K. after weeks working with two of Gaza's main hospitals has accused Israel of targeting civilians fleeing its bombardment of the besieged territory with white phosphorus and snipers. And he says that by the wounds sustained, you can tell what it is. Okay. They know what the difference is. It's very clear and very obvious. And we should never forget the countries that said that Israel had the right to do this. Okay. It's like, oh, there's what, over 90% of children, I think it is. There's over a million children in there. And speaking of children, this is something I'd like to share with you. If Steve, do you remember that movie that was made about World War II? I think it's called The Piano. I'm not sure, but it's about that father that kept telling his child that they were in a game, that they were in a simulation, and everything was fine. And he was completely selfish. He was completely selfless the whole way through the movie.
No, I don't think I've seen that one.
Oh, wow. He's telling...
Is that, you know, a recent
they're
one?
They're in what they would call a, quote, concentration camp, unquote.
Is that a
and
recent
one? He's sitting
one?
There telling everybody, that, you know, telling him that it's just a game, that this is happening and that's happening. And
is that a recent one?
No, no. I think it's called The Piano. I'm not sure, but I'll have to check it out. This reminded me exactly of this. It's words whispered to a child under siege. And it's absolutely awesome. And I can't think of any place I'd rather speak of this than this radio network. Listen to this carefully. No, we're not going to die. The sounds you hear knocking the windows and chipping the paint from the ceiling, that's a game the world is playing. Our task is to crouch in the dark as long as we can and count the beats of our own hearts. Good, like that. Lay your hand on my heart and I'll lay mine on yours. And which one of us wins is the one who loves the game the most while it lasts. Yes, it's going to last. You can use your ear instead of your hand. Here, on my heart. Why is it beating faster? For you, that's all. I wanted you to be born, and so did the world. No, those aren't a stranger's footsteps in the house. Yes, I'm here. We're safe. Remember chess? Remember hide and seek? The song your mother sang? Let's sing that one. She's still with us, yes, but you have to sing without making a sound. She would like that. No, those aren't footsteps. Sing louder. Sing louder. Those aren't bootsteps. Let me show you how I cried when you were born. Those aren't bootsteps. Those aren't sirens. Those are not flames. Close your eyes, like chess, like hide and seek. And when the game is done, you get another life. Right? We're not putting ourselves in the place of the people that are in danger. You know, I'm sitting watching a video in Gaza. She can't be more than 25 years old. And she's looking around. She said, hear the sirens? See the lights in the sky? The lights in the sky means that Israel is going to target this area tonight or for many nights to come. They're just warning us. And we don't know where the bombs are going to fall. You know, she's crying, right? And at the same time, the media is responsible for really good, gory-looking makeup. And fake wounds and arms ripped off, you know, like the arms inside the sleeve, but they have the arm with all the blood and all the red, you know, the red paint and everything. They're really, really good at making up fake wounds and stuff. So it's so awful to see what they're doing and how they're using what they do. I wish there was a way that we could all say something to them, like we know what they're doing. You know, like that song about war from Bob Dylan, you know, I just want you to know that we can see through your masks, right? What is predictive programming? There's Sesame Street with the monsters playing with the Twin Towers, taking bites out of them. You know, it's so infuriating because I feel like we've been played. I really feel like we've been played and for too long, and now it's going to get worse. You know, everybody knows in their gut if they feel anything, they know it's getting worse. They know what's coming. You can feel something's coming, yet you don't know what it is. That's what they want. You feed that, that's exactly what they want. So I'm trying to feed the rest. I'm trying to understand everything. And these shows are really helping me, especially this one, because I have family here and I can center myself. And the show really helps me to ground, I guess, myself. There's a good word. Same thing as this COP28. Again, right? Private jets headed to global warming conference. But this time, one is frozen on the runway, literally frozen. And I thought, yes, you know, right on. And, you know, if you look at the video of what that place looks like in Dubai, I can just look at it. You can see the money flying around. You can see the people, the media scrambling around. I see things now like I've never seen before because of what I know now and what I didn't know then. And wow, you know, it's all money. Follow the money. It's the big lie, you know. Climate change doesn't even exist. This is something that the world is going through. The world has always gone through that. Yeah, even the polar shift, some 20,000 years each time. I'm learning about that too. That's something else I'd love to talk about on another show. And it's happening. The Earth is reacting also to it reacts very violently and very slowly to the abuse of its children, just like a good parent. Yep. So I'm really needing to talk about this stuff because, this meme says, I'm not particularly fond of people who fly in private jets to a meeting where they discuss how to take away my car and feed me bugs. But, that's just me. I got to play this song again. I've got to play this song.
Here's a little song I wrote. You might want to hear it in your pod. You know nothing. And be happy. Ain't got no cash, ain't got no car. But 24 booster shots in your arm. Oh, nothing. Be happy.
Oh, shut up. I had to play that. I'm sorry. These people are really pretty bold, I might say. But anyway, once people in America stop laughing at all this and they start taking it seriously, maybe we'll get somewhere. Well, in the time we have left, as I promised Annie, we need to bring back the art of home cooking. We really do. And you see the mother or the woman cooking, licking her fingers, and she's got stuff in the stove. She's got all kinds. I mean, Steve, you're seeing it with me now because we're sharing screens. It's the art of home cooking, like the way your mother used to do when, it smelled so good in the house that it was almost sickening. It almost made you nauseous. It smelled so good. Guess what? I found out a little snippet of Rockefeller and how he was depressed at one point because he was only taxing half the population with just men working. Oh, so what do you do? Well, get women to work, tax women, then you tax the whole population, and then you can control the kids in school and indoctrinate them. Problem solved. See, and we didn't even see that coming. Oh, women go to work. Oh, okay, that empowers women. Yeah, feminist movement, Tavistock Institute. Everything you touch, unbelievable. So, yeah. Hello, Moon. Yes, home cooking is the best, and I agree because that's what I do at home. I'm eating less and less out of a box, let me tell you. But this is what Rockefeller did, right? And it starts really, really slowly. And I've been watching it. And I've been talking about doing the Rockefeller segment for I don't know how long. But the problem is it won't be a segment. It'll be a whole show. I'm going to start just by saying a few ditties on it because we're going to really get into it next week. According to shocking new studies, and this is from Jonathan Otto, popular devices like AirPods can literally microwave your brain. While cell phone use is skyrocketing, your kid's brain tumor risk by an astonishing 400%. This is because they generate powerful fields of radiation called EMFs, which have been shown to hijack and seriously damage human DNA. The results? Atrocious effects like Alzheimer's, infertility, depression, and even cancer. And with the inevitable coming of 5G technology, imagine that. It's going to be even worse. So it's going to get stronger and stronger every time. You heard that clip that I played one time a couple of weeks back of this woman who is absolutely sure, because she was part of the UN at one point, that the next pandemic would be the 5G towers with the kids in school. Oh, we have a pandemic and the kids have to stay in school. And then they don't see their parents again. Right? Try and entertain that for a bit. Try and entertain you being a parent and not seeing your child anymore or being forcefully separated from him. What does that sound like? When was the Northwest Mounted Police founded in Canada? 1860-something. I'll get that for next week. But this is what I'm talking about. Take the kids away from the family. Do away with the family unit. Do away with private property. 15-minute cities. It's coming. Right? And are we going to react when it's too late? This is what I do. This is what I do, and I'm going to do it until I can no longer do it. And I can't thank people enough for putting up with me and teaching me how to be more effective in speech, teaching me how to read more, teaching me how to understand myself and forgive myself more for my imperfections, etc. And I can only thank you for being with me again on another show, because that's, I guess it's my time is up. And Steve's looking at his watch going, Luca, it's going to be time to finish the show. So, and you get a chance to listen to my song again. But thank you, everybody, for listening, for having me on. It was a great hour. It went really fast. And thanks, Steve, for everything and for talking. Even you talked a little more than usual. You did. Trust me. You did. And good luck on pool today, too. So I'm going to let you go. And this is a song that I wrote, and I really like it. I'm liking it more and more because I'm getting rid of the other song, which I'm very happy about as well. So we'll see you next week. And please be safe, everyone.